know, we speak about Hashgacha Pratis, we speak about everything being from Hashem. Many weeks ago, when Rabbi Grossman, Rabbi Schechter, asked me to come speak, so Rabbi Grossman from our office said, you know, I think a good topic to speak about would be Tefillas Kelim. So I said, okay, we'll speak about Tefillas Kelim. Little did I remember or recognize, recall, that just the halachas of Tefillas Kelim are a pasuk in yesterday's parsha. In yesterday's parsha, the Torah teaches us, Chol davar ashiyava be'esh, taviru be'esh v'toher. The Torah teaches us the halachas. There's really two halachas in that pasuk. One is the halacha that we could all easily recognize and understand, that if a vessel absorbed, you use the vessel for something non-kosher, you use the vessel for milchigs, and it became, and now you, and it's really fleishig, so it's fleishig, and you want to use it for milchigs, you need to kasher it. That's the halacha that we all know. The other halacha, as the Gemara teaches us, is v'toher. The pasuk adds the word v'toher. And the question is obvious. Expelling from a vessel non-kosher or milchigs or fleishigs, tam, has nothing to do with tahara. So what do we learn from that word v'toher? Teaches us the Gemara. Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, daf ayin hei amud beis. Hoysef lo hakosuv tahara acheres. The Torah teaches us there's another rule, and that is the rule that no matter what is the status of the vessel, if you buy a vessel from a non-Jew for Toher, you have to be metarit. How are you metarit, says the Torah? By putting it into a mikvah. Mikvah, the Gemara is very clear. This is a very important halacha. Mikvah shenida tavelas ba. It has to be 100% kosher mikvah. That means many times we go to stores, we want to have our kelim, we want to toivel them. So everybody's looking for the easy way out. So you just leave the kelim, you leave whatever you buy in the store, and we have a mikvah, and we will be toivel them for you. That's part of the service they offer you. So you have to, A, know that the mikvah is a kosher mikvah. It's no different than any other mikvah someone would want to use. There has to be a hechsher. The mikvah was built and maintained properly. Also, a very, very important halacha. Now, whenever I say a shir on Tefillas Kelim, a memory comes back to me. It's a memory of 35 years ago. In those times, when somebody got married 35 years ago, what did we do during Sheva Brachas? We went to be toivel whatever our in-laws, my mother-in-law, bought for us, dishes and pots and pans, and we didn't do anything. It was the Sheva Brachas. We went to the mikveh to be toivel the kelim, the china. That was also the last time I ever toivel china. And it was probably also the first time my wife understood what it means to be married, and you have to know that your husband isn't perfect. So what people do nowadays is that they have people, they have an arrangement with the store, that the store has someone who toivels the kelim. It's a very, very serious issue. First of all, the person who toivels the kelim doesn't have to be a Jew. Doesn't have to be a Jew. The kelim have to be put into a mikvah. Anybody could put them into a mikvah. But you have to know what's put into a mikvah. So if you come to the store and you ask the non-Jewish worker and he tells you, yes, I put it into the mikvah, a guy doesn't have mnemonis. We have no way of knowing he really did it. He says he did it. How do I know he really did it? So you have to have someone who's reliable, able to tell you that I saw him put every one of the kelim that's mechuyev in tefillah into the mikveh. Otherwise, you have a very, very serious issue. So it's something to think about. The Yerushalmi, which everybody quotes, says the reason we do tefillas kelim is to take the keli out of the tumosom shel akum. Everything that we live with, everything that we live with has kedush in it. That's the definition of being a Jew. So if this keli If this vessel was until now in the ownership and the property of a non-Jew, by us purchasing it, we're bringing it up a level. And how do we show that? By putting it into the mikveh. Mitumasam shel akam rishuasam shel Yisrael. I was actually thinking, as I saw this Yerushalmi that everyone quotes, there's a question that the Chafetz Chaim asks on this week's parasha. It's interesting. The pasuk, when it introduces the halacha of Tfilas Kelim, begins with the words, Zois Chukas HaTorah. These are the rules of the Torah. And there's an obvious question. Every rule in the Torah is a rule of the Torah. Why is this parasha introduced with the words, Zois Chukas HaTorah? Says, so Chafetz Chaim has his explanation. Maybe we'll have a chance to repeat it. I was thinking that what is unique about us? What's unique about Klal Yisrael is that the Torah of Klal Yisrael is not just limited to the Beis Medrash, to the Beis Knesset, where we daven, where we learn, but the Torah of Klal Yisrael affects every area of our lives. So the Torah tells us something as mundane as every day. What can be more than every day than buying a fork or a spoon or a plate or a pot or a pan? I mean, there's nothing more mundane than that. Tells us the Torah, no. Zois chukas ha-Torah. The halachas of the Torah apply even to the most mundane aspect of our lives. And we have to bring kedusha into every aspect of our lives, even in the kalim that we're going to eat from, that we have to put them into the mikveh. There's an interesting question. When we speak about the obligation to do tefillas kelim, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that if you have such a vessel, you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to bake. You're not allowed to eat on a vessel that was bought and manufactured by a non-Jew without first taking it to the mikveh. Or is there a mitzvah to say? Is the Torah telling us there's a mitzvah that when you buy such a vessel, you have to put it into the mikveh first? It's a very relevant question. I'll tell you why it's a very relevant question. You know, people all year round buy pots and pans. Let's say there's a sale on pots and pans and dishes. And you know, I really don't need it for this time of the year. But I need it for Pesach. I need it for Pesach. And now it's a great sale. It's a great opportunity. I'll buy it and I'll put it away. And I don't have to tovel it. Pesach is 8-9 months away. I have plenty of time. Do we have an obligation to take it to the mikveh immediately, even though we have absolutely no intention to use it for many months? Or I only may not use a keli that I didn't take to the mikveh. So I'm not using it. I'm putting it in my basement. I have no intention of using it for many, many months to come. So I always was sure, I have to thank you, I was always was sure that you're not allowed to use a keli until you tovel it. But in doing research for the shir, actually the Mishnah Berurah and the Yeshuas Yaakov all paskin that way. They all paskin, there's a mitzvah saseh. There's a mitzvah to tovel kelim. And that's why as soon as you buy the keli, even if you have absolutely no intention of using it for many months, you should take it to the mikveh immediately. That doesn't mean that that's the only part of the mitzvah. They all agree that also included in the mitzvah is that you may not use the keli without proper tefillas kelim. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that this mitzvah is a mitzvah to say d'oraisa. I do have to say, however, and this is a question that comes up very often, what happens if you went to someone's home? You went to someone's home, and you know that they keep a kosher home. Everything in the house is perfectly kosher. You're allowed to eat everything in the home. But you're not sure if they tovel the kelim. You're not quite sure if they, not because they're not good people, they may not even know the halacha. And maybe they didn't take their kelim to the mikveh. Are you allowed to eat that food that they cooked in the pots and pans that weren't taken to the mikveh? Are you allowed to eat on the dishes and on the from the silverware that weren't taken to the mikveh? The halacha is certainly in anything that's glass, you could be more lenient. We're makel and everything because the chiv is a chiv on the person who owns the keli. It's not a chiv on you who are the guest in the home. If possible, and you could eat on disposable, of course it would be better. So what type of kelim does the Torah tell us we have to take to the mikveh? The Torah says, as a achas azov, as a nechoshes, as a kesef, as a bedil. Zov means gold, copper, silver, lead. Only kelim, which are all metal. So what's the unique characteristic of metal, which is the common denominator of all of the kelim that are mentioned in the Torah? The common denominator of metal is that metal you can melt. You could start with a metal pot, and theoretically you can melt your pot down to being stainless steel or copper or whatever material and start from scratch. But the Torah only speaks about metal vessels. That's the only kelim that the Torah says have a chiyuv tefillah. The Rabbanon came along and said that even glass also has a chiyuv tefillah. Why? Because glass is similar to metal. Because just like you can melt metal down, you can melt glass down. And therefore, Chazal said that glass has a chiyuv tefillah. I don't want to belittle that obligation. And just like there's a chiyuv tefillah when you have a metal keli, you have a chiyuv tefillah by a glass keli, and you make a bracha the same way on a glass as you do on metal. Just this is the raisa, that's the rabbanon. The question that comes up very often is that many of our vessels are made out of aluminum. It is the opinion of most poskim that aluminum is considered a metal, and therefore the chiyuv tefillah of aluminum is a chiyuv d'oraisa. In the yeshivas, they say that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, said that aluminum didn't have a chiyuv tefillah. It's a very big chiddush. The question that does come up, an interesting question, is plastic. Many of the vessels that we buy and that we use are made out of plastic. Is there a chiyuv tefillah on a plastic utensil? So what is the question based on? On one hand, plastic is similar to glass. Just like you can melt down glass, you can melt down plastic. So we could certainly make an argument that plastic should have a chiyuv tefillah. There was no plastic in the time of Chazal. Plastic is a relatively new invention. And one of our fundamental concepts in halacha is that we have no right to make new rules. Whatever rules Chazal made are the rules. Whatever rules aren't there, aren't there. And since there was never a rule made regarding tefillas kelim on plastic, simply because there was no plastic, it is the opinion of most poskim, and that's the minhag ha'olam, that's what the way most people follow, they don't tovel plastic. Question that comes up, very serious question, probably the most commonly asked question that I get on tefillas kelim, is regarding China. Because China is porcelain. There is no chiyuv tefillah on porcelain. Kli cheres, porcelain has no chiyuv tefillah. However, if you look into the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have a keli, if you have a vessel that's made out of a material that has no chiyuv tefillah, but you mitzupa, you coat it with something that has a chiyuv tefillah, so the Shulchan Aruch is very clear that if it's coated from both sides, from the inside and the outside, there's a chiyuv tefillah. There are questions that come up, if it's only on the outside, if it's only on the inside. I'm not going to go into those questions because that's very rare. Typically, the kelim, the china that we have that's glazed, is glazed from both sides. And what is it glazed with? With the word glaze. The word glaze implies what it's glazed with. It's glazed with glass. So the question is, Do you have to toivel China or not? So it's a very, very big machlokes apoiskim. Many poiskim take a stringent approach, very understandably, because that's the case that the Shulchan Aruch says. You have a keli that is made out of a material that doesn't have an obligation of tefillah, but you coated it with something that has. You coated it with glass. You have a chiyuv tefillah. There are, however, opinions that are lenient for a number of reasons. First of all, it's not quite clear that the glaze is really glass. There are certain glazes that aren't just a glass that's applied on top of it. There are many opinions that feel that's just like some sort of a chemical that they're pouring on it, which is not necessarily glass. Another concept that the Pais can discuss is that there's a difference why you would put on a coating. If you put on the coating to strengthen, that that's part of the way you manufacture this vessel, so that's part of the vessel. So they used to make, in those times, it seems, many wood kalim. A vessel made out of wood is not chayiv and tefillah. But they used to put it together with metal or stainless steel screws. And without the screw, it'd fall apart. So that makes the metal an integral part of that vessel. Here, it's only put on for a shine. It's not really what is the keli. The keli is china. The keli is ceramic. You want it to have a nice shine, so they put this on. And then I've also heard Paiskim suggest there's a difference if it's a thick layer of coating or a thin layer of coating. So this is a very, very big question. Personally, when people call me, I tell them as follows. I'm not sure you want me to answer this question. Because if you're going to ask me and then you hear from me, you may have to do what I tell you. So maybe you want to ask somebody else who will be a little more lenient. I tell people that they should be toivelit without a bracha. That's what I personally do. But there are many rabbonim who hold that china, glazed china, doesn't require any tefillah. There's a very interesting question. It's not very relevant, but it's an interesting question to discuss that has you find much discussion around this question. What's the halacha if a ger, somebody becomes a Jew, a convert? So I'm not speaking about if he had non-kosher. It's important to point out, I should have said this at the beginning, if you ever have a vessel that needs to be kashered and also needs to be toiveled, the halacha is first you have to kasher it, and after you kasher it, you toivel it, not the other way around. But let's say you have a ger. You have somebody who became a convert, became a Jew, and he has in his closet, I'm not going to speak about the kashering element of this question, but he has in his closet unused pots and pans and dishes and glasses, and now he became a ger. And does he have to take his whole house to the mikveh? Till now he was non-Jewish, and now he's Jewish. Very interesting question that I saw the Paiskim discuss. It's the opinion of most Paiskim that a ger should be toivel his kalim. However, I did see a number of opinions that take a lenient approach. One is a very interesting approach cited by the Shemesh Shmuel in the name of his father, the Avni Nezer. He says an incredible chiddush. He says it. He says, we all know that an important part of the process, of the procedure of somebody becoming a ger is going to the mikveh. So he says that when the ger goes to the mikveh, everything that is included, everything that he owns, everything that's part of him is included in that tefillah. So when the ger goes into the mikveh and he becomes a Jew, even though his kalim are sitting fine in his house in the closet, that tefillah works for them as well. It's a huge chiddush. Avni Nezer says it. There's a tshuva I saw from Rav Asher Weiss Shlita about this shaila. He says he introduces his tshuva with a number of interesting comments. First of all, he says, on one hand, I really don't want to take a position, because this is a shaila that I know Rabbi Yoshev and Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch and all the Gedolei Yisrael have already said that Tfilas Kelim should be conducted when a ger becomes a ger. So who am I to say differently? On the other hand, Mamish the other hand, he says, it's interesting to point out. He says, you look in all of the Shailos Tshuvos, the earliest Svarim, Tfilas Kelim, as we're learning, goes back to yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah. It goes back forever. And in all of the various Svarim, this Shaila never came up. There were always Gerim in Klal Yisrael. There were always converts in Klal Yisrael. Why was this Shaila never mentioned? He says it could be because there was never a Shaila. It's not a Shaila. There's certainly no Chiyuv Tfilas Kelim. And then he says a very interesting point. He says that when is there a Chiyuv, what is the model for Tfilas Kelim? The model for Tfilas Kelim is what we learned in yesterday's parasha. When Klal Yisrael went to war in Midian, and the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, when you take the Kelim from the Midian to Klal Yisrael, when they leave, as we said at the beginning of the shir, the Rishus of the Midianim, and come to the Rishus of Klal Yisrael, you have to be toivel them. So there's a specific procedure, process. It goes directly from the goy. You take it from the goy and bring it to you. He says, that's not what happens by Geiris. Since that's not what happens by Geiris, that's why there is no Chiyuv Tfilas Kelim. So I have to tell you, it's a Chiddush. And he himself says, I'm just saying this. But yesterday, I was in a shul, and just in front of me, I guess this is the proof that I should have been here today. I was just in front of me was the Sefer Ma'ayan Beis HaShoeva from Shimon Schwab Zatzal on Chumash. It was sitting right in front of me on the table. So I opened up the Sefer and I looked, what does he have to say on this week's parasha? So he asks a question. This is not the only time that Jews took Kelim from Goyim. Yes, there was the war with Midian in yesterday's parasha, but there was also the war with Sichon HaNoeg, where Jews took objects from the non-Jews. Why did the Torah, he asks, choose to teach us the halacha of Tfilas Kelim by this war, not by any other war? So he says a very interesting teretz. He says, unlike the war with the Shiva Amim, with the seven nations that were in Eretz Yisrael, in that situation, there was nobody left. There was no ownership. Our obligation was to kill them out, men, women, children. By Midian, the obligation was only to kill the men, not the women and children. So he says, when we took the Kelim from the Midian, they still had non-Jewish owners, the women and children of the Midian. So we were taking it from a non-Jew to a Jew, and that's what the Torah says, Tfilas Kelim. When you're taking a Kelim that has no owner, by the Sichon HaNoeg, everybody was wiped out. It was Hefker. And the Chiyuv Tfilas Kelim, the obligation of Tfilas Kelim, only exists in a very specific approach. Non-Jewish owner to Jewish owner. If it's not going with that specific approach, with that specific procedure, there's no Chiyuv Tfilas Kelim. So if that's the case, by Ger also, it's not going with that traditional approach, non-Jewish owner to Jewish owner, and therefore Tfilas Kelim may not be required. I actually saw that Rav Herschel Schachter, Paskins, that they tell Geirim they should do Tfilas Kelim without a bracha. Which keli, what type of a vessel is mechuyev in Tfilas Kelim? So the halacha is kli suda, something that's used for eating. What's the definition of use for eating? What it means is that either you eat with it, a plate, silverware, or it's used to prepare food for eating, which would mean a pot and a pan. However, there are a number of very important exceptions. The first exception is that the food has to touch the vessel. If the food doesn't touch the vessel, then you don't have to do Tfilas Kelim. So what does that mean? If you, the example that I always use is, why wouldn't you have to be toivel the grates in your oven? You put food, you cook with that. Why do you have to be toivel? Because you don't put the food directly on the grate. You put a pot, you put the food in a pot, and the pot you put on the grate. So if the food is not touching the grate, then you don't have to be toivel the keli. So I'm going to give you some interesting examples that I thought of and I looked up in preparation for this shiur. Something that people don't think about. Many of us have a challah board that we put the challah on by the Shabbos table. Challah board is mechuyev in tefillas kelim. You put the food directly on the challah board. Interesting question. A korah that you use by the seder. So it's like this. If you have only the tray, so we have the different simonim, the different parts of the seder that we put on the korah. So some people put it, those simonim, directly on the silver, whatever material korah. If it's ceramic, it's not a problem. Then you would have to be toivel the korah. But if you don't put it directly on, if you have one of these small plates, and you put it on the small plates, so the small plates, unless they're made out of plastic, have to have tefillas kelim. But the korah would not have to have tefillas kelim because you're not putting the food directly on the korah. Unless, this is, it doesn't always pay to be fancy. If you have one of these fancy korahs where you put the matzahs on the different levels, on the different layers, so there you're putting food directly on the korah and you would have to be toivel the kelim. Another example. You want to add something?
Yeah. The challah boards and the karas, aren't they always made by Jewish people?
They're not necessarily made by Jewish people. That's a great question. First of all, they're usually made in China, like everything else. That's number one. Besides that, they're not necessarily made by Jewish people. This is a very big misnomer. People believe, I go to the silver store and I buy something that's made by, I'm not going to mention names, but it's made by one of the companies that are Israeli companies. So first of all, just because it's an Israeli name doesn't mean it's made in Israel. A, even if it's made in Israel, the halacha is that we don't just look at the owner of the manufacturing site. You have to look at the person who's actually creating and manufacturing this specific keli. So even if you have an Israeli company that you know its factory is in Israel, if they have non-Jewish workers, you still have a chiyuv tefillas kelim.
It's made out of wood.
If it's made out of wood, good. But let's say it's made out of silver.
Not wood.
Wood is not chiyuv tefillas kelim. But many of them have a combination of wood and silver or wood and glass. In fact, that's a real problem. If it's only wood, it's not a problem. If it's only wood, it's not a problem. Yes.
What if you have a silver tray with a wood inset?
Oh, that's great. So if you have, I have, for example, a silver one with one of these plastic inserts, that's fine because the challah only touches the plastic or the wood. But if it touches the silver or the glass, then you have to be toivel it. It's a real issue. Yes.
I don't understand how is it acceptable that a non-Jew
can toivel? It's 100% fine because the obligation is that the keli should be in the mikvah. It's not you personally do it. You don't have to do. You won't have a bracha. You lose the bracha. That's true.
Is it better to do it yourself?
If you want to make the bracha. If you want to make the bracha or you want to be sure it's done right. Mm-hmm. So the car is a very interesting example that people don't think about. What about trays? People have trays that they bring to the table. So it matters what you use the tray for. If you use the tray to put on the glasses or bottles of soda, bottles of drinks, that's fine because the food is not touching the tray. But if you're even putting it for cake, but you always put the cake on a plate that you put on the tray, it's fine. But if you have the food directly on the tray, then you have to be toivel the tray. But what is the question that comes up? The question that comes up is that many times you put the food not directly on the tray, but you have a napkin under it or a piece of silver foil under it, which is a very commonly asked question. People, for example, have grills, and they always put silver foil on the grill. Will that change the obligation of being toivel, the item, that object? The Paiskim say that a napkin or a silver foil is not considered a significant hefsek. It's not considered a significant separation, and you'll have to still be toivel that. So if you have a tray, for example, and you always, or let's say you have on your counter one of these grills, George Foreman, and a lot of people, when they use the George Foreman grills, they put on like a parchment paper. Or a lot of people, when they bake challah or bake cakes, they don't put the challah or the cake directly into the baking pan. They put parchment paper, and like that, they put the challah or the cake into the pan. The halacha is that it still requires tefillas kelim. Paper or silver foil is not considered an adequate hefsek. You wanted to add something?
You're talking about the kelim where the food is in direct contact with the pig. If the particularly if you've got children, the food gets everywhere. If it's not the intention...
Oh, good question. Great question. The halacha is we always go basar roiv tashmishai. We always go after what it's commonly and typically used. There's always going to be an exception. In other words, let's say you never put something directly on the tray, but that doesn't mean something doesn't spill onto the tray, or somebody accidentally did put something directly on the tray. That's not considered. We always go basar roiv tashmisha. We always go what it's most commonly used for. So there's a very interesting question. I'll tell you how the question is asked. The way the question is discussed is not something that's relevant to anybody probably sitting here. But once we'll start thinking about the question, we'll see how very, very relevant it is. What is the halacha if you have a knife that a shochet uses to shecht an animal? Is that knife mechuyev in tefillas kelim? So there's a very big machlokes. Some paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch says it's not. Why not? Because after you finish shechting the animal, you're not ready to eat the animal. You still have to do a lot of different things until that animal is ready for eating. So the Shulchan Aruch holds that any keli that you don't have immediate, right after you use it, you could eat after its use, then there's no chiyuv tefillas kelim. The Ramah is not as lenient. And the way the Shach, and there's a machlok is how to understand the opinion of the Ramah. The Torah Zav's opinion of the Ramah is that if it's a knife, if it's anything, it's mechuyev in tefillas kelim. The Shach has a very interesting interpretation. He says it depends. He says a knife, the example I gave, could be used for eating. Most shochtim will not use their knives to cut their chicken. You could use a knife. You could use that knife for eating as well. So that's why it has a chiyuv tefillas kelim. But, if you have something that's never used in a way that after you use it, you could eat the food immediately, and I'm going to give you some examples, there's no chiyuv tefillas kelim. So what's the best example I could give you? A cookie mold. You're baking. And you want to make something with a specific mold. So you have these molds. Let's say they're made out of stainless steel. There's no chiyuv tefillas kelim. Why? Because after you finish using the mold, the cookie isn't ready for eating. After you finish using the mold, you still have to bake the cookie. And since that isn't a keli, that right after you finish using it, you'll be able to eat the food, there is no chiyuv tefillas kelim. Another example, a potato peeler. So it depends. If you use your potato peeler only for potatoes, then there wouldn't be a chiyuv tefillas kelim because nobody can eat a raw potato. So after you finish peeling the potato, you still have to cook it or whatever you're going to do with it. However, most people don't use their potato peelers only for potatoes. They also use it for vegetables. And vegetables can be eaten right after you peel them. So that's why therefore it would require tefillas kelim. So if your potato peeler is only used for potatoes, it doesn't. Or another example, let's say you have a sifter. So you have a flour sifter or you sift any other thing in the home. There's no chiyuv tefillas kelim on a sifter. Because after you finish sifting what you're sifting, you still now have to cook, bake, or whatever. And therefore, if it's not immediate, there's no chiyuv tefillas kelim. If your mixed master bowl is only used for mixing and afterwards you still have to bake, you would not have to gargle it. Yeah? So now we're going to get to the two most commonly asked questions.
I lost track of when you say a bracha and when you don't.
You usually say a bracha. When there's a question, then do it without a bracha. Normally, you always say the bracha. Yes?
If you toggle a strainer, so...
You didn't have to.
Wasn't bracha
bakal. Can't help you. It's not my wine. So the two most commonly asked questions, two most commonly asked questions when it comes to tefillas kelim are A, what about kelim that you have to, that are used for with electricity, right? A percolator, a toaster, a toaster oven. So what's the halacha on all these kelim?
Kurig.
So the number one question. You know, we at the OU have a hotline where people could call questions. So there's certain questions that are always asked. The Keurig machine is like on top of the list there. I bought a Keurig machine. Do I have to tivel the Keurig machine? So Rabelsky told us that we don't have to tivel a Keurig machine for two reasons. First of all, a Keurig machine is almost entirely plastic. It's almost entirely plastic. There are only two metal pins in a Keurig machine. So if you're really handy, which I clearly am not, but if you're really handy and you could take out those pins and then toggle them and put them back, great. If not, just he held that you could use it. The truth is anything that's digital, if you're going to put into the mikveh, you'll never be able to use again. That everybody agrees to. If you'll put something that has a digital mechanics in it, you put it into the mikveh, it's finished. So what's the heter? What do you do? So the heter that I learned from my Rebbe, Reb Tovia Goldstein, is that since anything that's electrically operated, so the only way you could use it is by sticking the plug into the socket. By sticking the plug into the socket, you're making it mechubel karka. You're connecting it to the ground. And the halacha, anyone who's somewhat familiar with the halachas of Tumma v'Tahara, we know that anything that's connected to the ground doesn't become Tumma. So if the only way you could use this is by having it connected to the ground, then there's no reason to be toivled. Not everybody agrees with this. I have to be very, very clear telling you that not everybody agrees with this heter, but this is one of that heterim. Certainly, wherever you can do tefillas kelim, you ought to do tefillas kelim. So let me explain what I'm saying. Reb Moshe, I'm going to quote two interesting tshuvas from Reb Moshe. One tshuva Reb Moshe has is regarding a percolator. Does a percolator have to have tefillas kelim? Reb Moshe said, so the old-fashioned percolators, at least, the way they were built was you had the water on the top, and at the bottom, they had whatever heating element. He says, you don't have to toivel the heating element. You only have to toivel the top part that the water touches. There's no electricity there. It's just a metal or whatever vessel. So just toivel that part and don't toivel the bottom part. Another interesting chiddush, which most Paiskim don't agree for Reb Moshe, is regarding a toaster. The reality is that most people don't even know what a toaster is anymore. How do I know? Because we were just at my mother's home about 2 weeks ago, who still has a toaster on the counter. And my grandchildren came there, and they asked her, what's this weird machine? So most people don't even have a toaster anymore. But if you had a toaster, the bread is put into the toaster, and it's ready to be eaten right after it comes out of the toaster. So it has all the requirements for tefillas kelim. So what's the halacha? So Reb Moshe says a very, very big chiddush. And again, I have to repeat that most poskim don't agree with Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe says, when is there a chiyuv tefillas kelim? He says, the chiyuv tefillas kelim is only when you're using a vessel that made the food from being inedible to edible. So a pan. If I have a food that's raw, I couldn't eat the food until I cooked it. So that's why there's a chiyuv tefillas kelim. Whereas, says Reb Moshe, if you have a toaster, so bread is edible even if it's not toasted. You want to toast it for whatever reason. So therefore, he says, since the toast is not really accomplishing anything of great significance, there's no chiv tefilas kalim. It's a vichidish, because what does a plate do? What does a plate do? You could eat a food without a plate. You could eat food, if nobody's looking, without silverware. So you can make the same argument. But that's what Moshe says, and as I tell you, most Paiskim don't agree with Reb Moshe. What happens very often, however, is that kelim are very big, and the heart we take in to the mikveh is so big. Or even in these types of kelim, where you don't want to take them to the mikveh, and it has a chiv tefillah. So if they're very big and they're connected to the wall, in many shuls, for example, they serve a lot of coffee, so they have these huge percolators that are built in. A built-on, the hotels, you see it. A built-in percolator is part of the building. That's not a keli. There's no chiv tefillas keli. There are two pieces of advice that are given where tefillas keli can't be done, but should be done. Both need to be watched. One is if you break it, and then you have a Jew repair it, so then who made the keli? The one that made the keli is the Jew, because it was not usable. And he's the one that made it usable. So if you have a keli that you can't or you don't want to take to the mikvah, if you have somebody who knows how to break it and fix it, both parts are important, then that's something you could do. The other eitzah, which is again, and I could tell you, you know, again, from the experience that I have from my day-to-day, from my day job at the OU. A number of years ago, the OU started giving hashgachas on hotels in Eretz Yisrael, hotels and restaurants. Giving a hashgacha to a hotel and restaurant, my colleague Rabbi Schreier is sitting here quietly in the back, does this all day, all night, is very, very complicated. But one of the big areas that people don't think about, that we have to think about, is tefillas kelim. You know, we talk about having a set of dishes, a fleishig set, a milchig set, silverware, pots, pans. After you count it all, it's not really that much. But when you're talking about a hotel, they have an incredible amount of dishes and pots and pans and silverware and glasses, and they all have to be tivled. So if it's a non-Jewish owned operation, you don't have a problem. The Chiv Tefillas Kelim is only for Jews. But let's say it's a Jewish owned operation. So they have a Chiv Tefillas Kelim. So we at the OU are very machmer that any place that we give Hashgacha to, there has to be Tefillas Kelim on everything. That there's an obligation to have tefillas kelim, we require tefillas kelim, and they go to the mikveh. The mashgiach has to go to the mikveh with all the, and of course, he has help, and everything is taken to the mikveh. In Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, interestingly enough, the Rabbanut relies on a heter. The heter they rely on is that they sell it to a guy. They sell all the pots and pans and dishes and silverware and glasses to a guy. So since they're all owned by a goy, there's no chiv tefillas kelim. It's not something that we want to rely on. Because it's really a trick. It's not really owned by the goy. It's really owned by the Jew. He's just trying to play some sort of a loophole. And therefore, we don't rely on it. Although I could tell you that there are a lot of broken dishes and broken glasses and a mikveh in Yerushalayim when we took over one of the hotels. And the mashgiach wasn't so good with slippery glasses. Another big misconception regarding tefillas kelim, very, very big misconception, that is that somebody once started a rumor, it went in all communities, that you could use a keli once without tivling it. The only requirement is after the first time. There's no such rule. There's no, you know, one time give you a break. The chiyuv tefillas kelim is as soon as you own the keli. The last shaila I'll discuss It's a very, very commonly asked question. Is many people buy these disposable baking pans, all sorts of disposable different items, but they don't dispose them right away. You use them over a number of times. Is there a chiyuv tefilas kelim? Because if it's truly disposable, let's go one shayla at a time. If it's truly disposable, then there's no chiyuv tefilas kelim, because that's not the definition of a keli. The definition of a keli is not something that I use it and I throw it out. Rather, what is the definition? But if it's not disposed immediately, rather you use it and then you reuse it, what is the halacha? It's a very difficult question, because everything, all these baking pans, most people use over many times. So there are paiskim that say, if you're going to use it a number of times, even though the intent when they were manufactured, and if you follow the manufacturer, he would like you only to use it once. So you should buy him again and again. But the reality is, it's not his intent that counts. It's your intent that counts. And you are using it over and over again. So you should have to take it to the mikvah. The only heter, I only found two heterim why you don't have to take it to the mikvah. One is, going back to what I said a moment ago, who's the one, when the manufacturer manufactured it, his intention was that it should be used once. Who's the one that decided that it should be not a disposable? It was you. You made that decision. So it was a Jew's decision that made it into a keli. It's not a great etzah. The other thing is that even if it's not thrown out after the first time it's used, they're really not something that's used permanently. It's not like a pot and a pan that you could have for many years. You'll use it two times, three times, but at a certain point, pretty quickly, it's going to be not useful. That doesn't change it from being something that's disposable, and therefore tefillas kelim would not be required. In conclusion, those of us who learned the Daf Yomi, there's a very interesting Gemara that we learned last week. We started Masechta Sanhedrin. The tefillin that we wear are made up out of four boxes, four compartments. And the Gemara asks, where do we know that from? It doesn't say it anywhere in the Chumash that there should be four boxes. So the Gemara says, because the Torah uses the words, we all say Krishma three times a day, the Torah uses the words taitofais, tat, the kafrisin tatin, wherever was two, tat ba'afriki, tat in African is two, two plus two equals four. So all the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Something as important as tefillin, like tefillin is the number, you know, that's the definition of who a Jew is. A religious Jew is a person who puts on tefillin every day. So we need to, so that's where the Torah decided that I'm going to teach you how many boxes the tefillin should have from African. That's the way we're going to learn it. The answer is that tefillin, which speaks about the basic foundation of our religion, tefillin speaks about amuna, about a Jew living as a Jew believing in Hashem. And the Torah wants to teach us that not only when we're in Eretz Yisrael, not only when we're in Eretz Yisrael and we're speaking Lashon Kodesh and we're speaking Hebrew and everything is perfect, that's when we have to have Kiddush in our lives. But even though you're going to be in a time that you're going to be in Africa, far away, in the most distant place of the world, you still have to wear the tefillin. You still have to have kedusha in your lives. And that's the lesson of tefillas kelim. That even when you're in your kitchen cooking and baking and you're using your pots and your pans and your different vessels and your silverware and you're sitting by the table and you're eating and you're enjoying a meal, tefillas kelim, the kedusha of being a Yisrael is everywhere.
Rabbi, may I ask you
sure.
a question about a specific pot?
Yeah.
Place your pot. Didn't we? I bought Schwartz's soup, dairy, put it in the pot, said, oops. Okay. So now I have the pot. I haven't used it since.
Right. You have to kasher it.
How? I mean,
you have to
I
take...
know one of the ways is put water and then put a stone in, let it boil over.
That's one way. Another way, if you have another pot that's bigger than that pot?
I could put it inside the handle.
So then you turn it around.
That's okay.
That's okay.
What is the status of food that is cooked in or eaten off the cane?
It's fine. I said at the beginning of this year, it's fine. It's okay. It's okay. I don't keep attendance.
What about my stupid toaster?
What about your toaster?
You said some hold this, some hold that.
If you could take it to the mikveh and not you, then don't touch it.
Huh?
Oh.